Welcome to Losing a Child, Always Andy's Mom. On this podcast, we journey through the devastating experience of the death of a child. Grief is seldom discussed openly in our culture, and the death of a child makes people feel even more uncomfortable. We approach the topic openly and honestly, speaking to people who have lost loved ones and experts who help care for them. Whether you are a parent experiencing loss or someone who wants to support another going through this tragedy, this podcast strives to offer hope and help.
Welcome to episode 240 of Losing a Child, Always Andy's Mom. I'm Marcy Larson, Andy's mom. Today, I have the pleasure to introduce you to Anne. Anne is just a wonderful, inspiring woman who I've known for quite a while now. I just know that you will find her amazing as well. In this episode, we talk about her blog that she has online, and she could not quite remember the name of it when we were recording. So I'm going to give you the name of that now. So you're going to get a little preview if you want to look ahead online. Her blog post is annyarrowblog.wordpress.com. So that's annyarrowblog.wordpress.com. I also want to take a minute here to tell you about the next live stream. So the next live stream will take place in a week from this Monday. So on Monday, April 29th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And this week we are going to talk about grandparents and grandparent grief, because I had someone write in and say that they thought that would be helpful to talk about how their parents are grieving. So this is where I need some help from all of you. If you have a parent who is grieving their grandchild, or perhaps you are a grandparent who is listening to the podcast and you're grieving your grandchild, and you would like to have some of your story shared a little bit, feel free to email me at marcy@andysmom.com. So I just want to have a lot of different people give some input here. So if you want to come on the show for a short period of time and talk live or talk recorded ahead of time, or if you just want to email me and have some things read, either way would be fine. And again, if you think your parents would like to participate via email, just please ask them either to reach out to me or give me their information and I can reach out to them. Because again, I really would like to have some different input from people. But you know, Gwen will always have some really valuable information. So even if we don't get a lot of people responding, I'm sure that will be okay too. Right now though, just sit back and enjoy listening to Anne, Josh's mom. Thank you so much, Anne, for agreeing to come on the Always Andy's Mom podcast today.
I'm so happy to be here.
I am so happy to have you here. And I was just laughing about this a second ago. You, first of all, I'm going to apologize for my voice. It's going to go in and out a little bit, and we're going to hope that it stays pretty good. I just drank some tea with some amazing honey from my friend Candy. So thank you, Candy, for the honey. And it seems to have calmed my voice down a little bit. But I do have to tell a funny story. So I know Anne, and I've known Anne for quite a bit. And Anne was in one of our support group sessions, and I messaged Anne back and forth. She's a contact in my phone. And yet a few weeks ago, when she decided she wanted to share her story on the podcast, she sent me almost an introductory email like, I don't know if you remember me. And I thought, Anne, of course I do. You could have just sent me a text saying, hey, Marcy, it's time. I want to share with Josh on the podcast. But instead, no. You like want it. Just sent me a whole introduction telling me your story. Like I'm well aware of your story. So, but thank you, Anne. And I do think we should talk a little bit about how we got to know each other, because we have a mutual friend who everyone, all of my listeners know. It is Gwen, the amazing Gwen. And I'm not sure if she's told the story on the podcast of you, meaning I don't think she has, but she's told me many times, but I've never heard it from your side. So I would love for you to share the story of you meeting Gwen.
Okay. Well, how I met her is I went to a speak up conference in Michigan at the prodding of a friend, and I didn't know what I was doing there because I really wasn't a writer, but I kind of wanted to understand that process. So I went to the conference. I met all these new people. I was overwhelmed by the conference itself. It's just a wonderful, worshipful time of instruction and just great information.
And it was learning about writing, right? Because that's what she said.
I was learning about writing and speaking.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so wonderful that I met all these people from all over. And I was sitting at a table with Gwen. So I kind of got to know her with a few other ladies. And the day the conference had ended, and I was like, I'm not sure why I'm here, God. It kind of blew me out of the water, honestly. It made me take a step back because it was overwhelming. I don't think I was ready for it necessarily in that aspect that I thought I would be ready for it. Anyway, so I thought, I've got to get to the airport. So I don't know Michigan. I don't know that area. So I'm calling a cab, a Lyft, an Uber. Somebody hands me a phone number to somebody that is just a guy that does that kind of thing. So I'm texting him and he's like, okay, I'll come. And it's just really disjointed text. So I'm not sure he is actually coming.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I told the group, I said, I got to go to the airport now. It was wonderful meeting you. And then Gwen out of the blue just says, well, I'll take you. And I was like, what? You're going to take me to the airport? Really? So, I mean, I was thrilled.
Well, honestly, it's barely out of her way. It's like not much out of the way at all, because obviously I know where Gwen lives. I've lived there. I know where the conference was. It wasn't like,
well, you know,
but yeah, but she's like, I'll just take you.
Yeah. And she, I mean, I didn't know her schedule. I just knew that I was leaving a little bit early. So she went out of her, it was kind of out of her way because she had to step out.
Okay.
So we get in the car. I text that guy, tell him, sorry, I don't need you. So we're driving and then we talk about what brought us here. And I tell a little bit about losing my son and I'm just trying to figure out if I want to write it a little bit. I said, what do you do? And at that point in that weekend, I was so like, God, I need help. I need help. I need a connection with people that can help me walk through this because I am at a loss. And I just felt like it was a good weekend. I had met somebody that was very meaningful because she had lost a son too. And so we had this really meaningful chat. But I thought, oh God, I need so much more.
Yeah.
So we're driving to the airport. And so I said, so why are you here? And she starts talking about her grief ministry.
Yes.
And I just went, what? You have a grief ministry? Like I'm, and I was talking to her also about just how it's hard to go back to church.
Mm-hmm.
And how sometimes churches don't really handle grief very well because I don't know if they know how.
Yeah.
So we talked about that a little bit, and that was part of her ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it gave me chills.
Yeah.
Because I thought, I'm at the very end of this, not sure why I've come. And it was kind of like a little more, here's a little another hint for you, what might be ahead in your life. And here's some help. Because then I did meet with Gwen over internet, and we had some great sessions after that. So, and she's just amazing.
She is amazing. And what's funny is, and then I'm going to tell a little bit from her side, because she goes to this conference, you know, to learn more about writing. But, you know, she speaks already a lot. She speaks to churches. She does grief education.
Yeah.
All the time to all different groups.
Yeah.
But she goes to this conference, and it's here in Grand Rapids where I live, which is less than an hour away from where she lives. And she spent the whole time there. And she said it was a great conference. But she, too, was kind of at the end praying to God, like, I don't know why you wanted me here. Why did you want me to come here? And then she, you know, volunteers to take you to the airport, and suddenly you're opening up your heart about being a bereaved mom, which is what she does.
Yeah.
I mean, all of a sudden she was just like, okay, God, yeah, this was it. This was it. This was the whole purpose of the whole retreat, was this moment with this woman. And even though I know she got a lot out of it as well, you were the thing that she felt like was the reason that she went.
Wow.
So I don't know if she's ever told you that, but she told me that.
And not in those words, no. I mean, I knew we were both kind of when we realized our connection, we both just kind of went, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, what is this? God is right. Amazing. So
I know, just hitting you with a hammer over the head a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I was leaving, not until after
right
it was over, because I didn't know why I was there either, because everybody else was way beyond my capabilities and talent. You know, why was I at that conference? So that was really, really cool just to have that at the very end when you're like, okay, whatever.
And then Gwen introduced you to my podcast.
Yeah.
And being in the Starlight Ministry support group that I do. And so then that's how we connected.
Yep.
Although it took Gwen and I a little while to realize that you had actually done that and that we knew the same man.
Yes.
Actually, you know what it was? I can tell you when it was that we realized it. It was, we were doing a live stream and you were listening and you were commenting. Okay. And we got to the end and we're talking about the different comments from people. And I said, oh, Anne. Yeah, she was on because she's in my support group. And at the same time, she was like, oh, Anne, she's that woman that I met on the thing who I've been. And we're like, wait, that's the same Anne? We had no idea it was the same Anne until we both claimed credit for you listening to us. Me claiming credit, you were listening to me. Her claiming credit, you were listening to her. But anyway, it was pretty funny.
Both were right.
Both were right, but anyway, it was funny that we were both trying to explain to the other one who Anne was when we both knew very well who Anne was. So thank you, Anne, for coming on. And I am so excited to help you share your story about Josh and just introduce the whole listening community to Josh, because he is an amazing kid.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Josh was our third and our youngest. Mm-hmm. Josh was also our stick of dynamite into the family. The rest of us were rule followers somewhat. And
yeah,
I thought, wow, I think I know how to raise kids because these two are so easy. And then we had too much. And I was like, you have no clue. You have no clue how to raise children, because he would push me on everything. So Josh was a fantastic outdoor kid, just loved all animals, all amphibians, reptiles, anything he could get his hands on, he was studying and knew all the dinosaurs at a very young age. Next thing I know, we're going to the pet store and I'm not even sure why we're there, but then we're coming home with all kinds of lizards and snakes, and his room was full. And I mean, I would have to lay down the law and say, okay, you need to get rid of one of these, you need to give a couple away before you get anything else. And so then there was that. We had some back and forth, and he had all of his little creatures that he loved to explain and teach about. As he got older, he loved being outside, doing everything adventurous, from hiking and camping and fishing and hunting and all those things. And just that was his happy place. He went to Kansas State University and started majoring in the Park Service. I don't think I'm even saying it correctly, but he was interested in being outdoors and using conservation.
Mm-hmm.
After his second year, for his first year after Kansas State, he went for the summer. He went into the national park up in Voyageurs around the lakes and worked for a Christian ministry in the national park, which is a ministry that is in all of the national parks, and they have church services on Sundays, and then they work during the week with other park employees, other seasonal people. They interact with the public. So what it is it's just a time to get to know other people in different walks of life,
mm-hmm.
and share life with them, work with them, and then offer a worship service. So he was doing that. His brother was also doing that. So the boys had a great summer in Minnesota. And so that was 2019. And then in 2020, he went to Glacier National Park to work in that park up in Montana.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so excited. And of course, that was also COVID.
Yeah.
So things were a little crazy. So he started working up in Glacier National Park, had a great team, left his job, was always telling me wonderful stories about his friends. I mean, it just sounded... it sounded so magical. It really, really did. Mm-hmm. And his brother actually happened to be working up in the same area, but not with that ministry. So in July, 2020, he was up hiking with some friends, mm-hmm. and backpack fell, and it went down the mountainside, and they didn't retrieve it, but they came back down, and he had called his dad, said he wanted to go back and get it, but that he couldn't go up through the valley he needed to go because of there were too many grizzly sightings. There was too much activity with grizzlies, so that was closed. So he wanted to access it from the top where he was. And we're just like, no, it's not important. There's nothing in there that would keep place. You do not need to get that. But true to his nature, I mean, all his life, just nobody was going to tell him.
Yeah.
You know, all his friends told him. And he's like, no, I can do it. It's fine. So he did take a buddy up with him. And they started going off trail and climbed down part of the mountain, and the rocks were getting slippery. It's called scree, and it's a part that just shifts really easy. And his buddy stopped, but Josh kept going. And then he lost his footing, and he fell over 500 feet.
Wow.
So, yeah. So his buddy had to run and get help and find somebody with a satellite phone. And so back at home, I knew that he was going to go get that. And I had talked to him on the phone earlier that day, and it was a conversation of butting heads.
Yeah.
So that was my conversation with him, my last one. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, bye, Mom, I love you. It was like, Mom, quit worrying. I'll call you when I get back. And that was our last conversation.
Yeah.
So that night I went to bed, and I wasn't worried because I prayed. I laid down all my worries. I really did. I said, God, You know, I worry about my boys because they're adventuresome, and I can't keep worrying about them. So I am laying this into your hands, and I trust you, whatever that means.
Yeah.
And at the time, I really meant it. So I went through my evening. I wasn't worried. My husband and I talked a little bit. Went to bed. I mean, about midnight, Jeff starts, you know, he comes through the door, and like the lights flip on, and my husband, and he goes, Ann. And I said, what? I said, what are you doing? And he said, we lost Josh. And I couldn't even receive that. I didn't know what that meant. There's no comprehension. You just are just dumbfounded. And I was just, what? I don't know what you're saying. So it took me, I still didn't grab hold.
Yeah.
All I could think was, we need to tell our daughter. We happened to be home that night. She lives in another city, but she happened to be home. And I thought, we got to go in and ruin her world. And then I had the stupid thought of, and I got to wash my hair because I don't know the next time I will have the same thought. That's what I thought.
And yeah.
If I do anything, I need to wash my hair. Because who knows what happens in a couple of days when I totally don't have a mind.
Yeah.
So...
the craziest thoughts go through your head, though, right?
They do. You think back, you're like, what in the world? So we got an early, early flight, flew to Montana, and our other son was up there. And we gathered together with all his friends, all of Josh's and Ross's friends, and just wonderful people. They had a beautiful memorial for him in that town. And, you know, he hadn't even been there that long. But the support was just unbelievable. So that's the story of Josh's death. And Mike was one that he just was going to just do things. He wasn't going to think too hard about it. So that's a challenge to me, because sometimes I like to plan things out a little bit and make sure it's going to be okay before I actually do things. And then most of the time I don't do things because I think, well, I probably won't be able to do that very good, or I won't know how. So.
Yeah. And he was just the kind of guy that would just go do it.
He just do it. We don't need to think about all the ramifications about everything, you know?
Yeah.
So he did a lot in his short life.
Yeah. And I'm sure those thoughts drove you crazy. And
oh, yeah.
But they're endearing too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And he did. He had a tenacity and a massive zest for life. He really did.
So, you know, let's talk a little bit more about him growing up and just your household and your boys and just what that was like. Because I feel like I kind of know Josh from the stories with the snakes and critters. But
And a little more, like, I just have to add on there is that we still have, we had Josh's dog still because of Josh's insistence that we go get another dog. We already had one husky, a pure white, blue-eyed husky, gorgeous. And so he's like, we have to go get this other puppy. So we do not need another dog. But the next thing I know, we're driving down to Oklahoma to go pick a puppy up. And it's another husky. And it's another male husky, which there's huskies are just plain stubborn anyway, and they're not the easiest. But we brought him home, and I remember thinking for the next 2 weeks that if it was not for Josh, I would be back in the car driving that puppy back home because it's, you know, it's like having a baby, all the training, all the stuff. And but I am so glad I have that dog now because he has gotten me out of bed every morning to go walk him. Ever since Josh passed, I mean, it just has been as a piece of him, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's mm-hmm. one thing. Josh also was in marching band, mm-hmm. played the Barry sax, loved music, would play piano by ear, would compose songs of his own on SoundCloud. It was all electronic stuff. And he'd be like, Mom, you got to listen to this. So I'd sit down and I'd start listening. He goes, Do you hear that? Just like that extra part in there. I'm like, I'm trying to listen. I'm like, okay, I think I do. He goes, no, do you hear that? And then his songs are so long. They're like 4 minutes, 6 minutes. I'm like, okay, is it done? No, it's not done. Stay here. So I'm glad to remember things like that because, you know, there's times too where you're like, did I shortchange him in some areas? But it's good to remember too that I agreed to a lot of stuff he had to drive for.
sounds like you did.
My house was smelly and messy and all that, but it was a great thing, I think. Yeah, and then, like I said, he just liked to play outdoors and hunt and with his dad and his brother, and he and his sister would play music together, just his saxophone, her piano playing, and they would come up with things. And
sounds like an amazing house.
Yeah, we'd go on a lot of family vacations. We went to a lot of the national parks before. So,
probably helped spark his love of it, huh? Oh, yeah.
Did all those things, and we were in the Grand Canyon when he was just probably 9, and I couldn't find him for a minute. And we're going down Bright Angel Trail, and we're like, "Where's he at?" Well, he's up ahead, and there's a group of adults standing around him. And he's explained to them the difference between a regular blue jay and a mountain jay. Just like an electric.
I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah, he really liked to study and then impart all the knowledge.
I was going to say, he was conservationist even at 9 then.
He was.
He didn't need the whole college education. But it was like just in him.
Yeah, it really was.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So do you want to go on now and talk a little bit about your grief journey and what that was like right away?
I think for me, the first, probably almost the first 2 years, I think I was in shock.
Yeah.
It was hard for me to cry. I'm an internal processor. I couldn't really talk about how I was feeling too much. My husband, Jeff, is an external processor. So what would happen is he would talk a lot and I would listen and I would just be like, I don't know what to do with all my information. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I actually joked about we need these two t-shirts where his t-shirt would have a yapping dog on it and mine would have a clam on it because I wouldn't say anything and he would just keep talking. So mm-hmm. we thought that was kind of funny, but what that did was I started writing all my feelings and that really was very healing. So I started writing right after Josh passed away. And I've had moments when I stopped writing because you know, a lot of it felt negative, very lamenting, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's part of grief. Lament totally is part of grief. And a couple of years, maybe it's just 1 year after Josh passed away, went back up to Montana. Okay. After Josh passed away, about a year after that, we would go back up to Montana every anniversary and we'd do some more hiking. Okay. Well, we were going to go up a trail and climb Mount Saeed. which was a place that Josh wanted to get to, but he didn't get to that one. So we went up, Jeff and I and Ross's brother and Dayton, his sister, and then all the friends that Josh worked with the year before. Everybody came back to go just to get together for the memorial and then also do that climb. Well, that climb was terrifying, absolutely terrifying to me. We were on places that I felt like were so unsafe. And I remember climbing up there, you know, rocks are starting to fall a little bit. And I remember praying, okay, God, I'll start writing again. I'll keep writing. Just get us down this mountain. And I thought, why didn't I just say that? And so anyway, we made it up. It was amazing. It was beautiful. And so after that, I started writing some more. And then I just started writing a blog, but I didn't share it with anybody. Not a soul. So nobody ever saw it. It's not, you know how you got something buried in the internet? Nobody's going to find it. You got to put it out there. You have to tell people. I didn't want to. I just thought maybe it'll help somebody, but it was never seen. So then I went through another down spot and I just quit. So my grief journey has been just tough. Like I think it's not easy. Mm-hmm. You just wonder how you're going to get through it. So I kept writing for myself. And then about a few months ago, I was talking to a friend of mine who had lost her daughter and she was writing. So then we began to challenge one another to write and to share. So now we both share on our own blogs weekly. And I hear that it really helps people. And I got to trust that and just and keep going. So now I'm inspired to write more and it's pushing me. And I feel like if I can share something now with somebody else, that actually gives me a little more energy and life and something to give me traction to keep moving.
Well, I'm sure that it is helping people. Because when was it that you, in your grief journey, that you met Gwen with that whole writing thing?
Was it just 1 year after Josh died or was it two?
Probably two.
Yeah, I think it was two. I think it was 2 years after he passed away. It was two. Mm-hmm. And that's when I met her. And that's when I also thought, I'm not ready to put myself out there in the world. I was just trying to figure out how to write. So that's when I met her.
Well, the reason I'm asking is because then, you know, shortly after, then you joined in one of my support groups. And, you know, and our support group had been together for a bit of time, actually. A lot of those women get pretty close. And you came in and your sharing was so incredibly helpful. I mean, so many of the people, the group, so appreciated you being in the group and your insights and what you said was so helpful to people. That's why I know, even though you've never told me about your blog, I don't even know how to find your blog because you've never told me. Which I think maybe is on purpose. I don't know. But I know it will be helpful just because I know what an amazing part of that group you were to us.
Rattle.
Is just, you were just so supportive and loving and everyone just immediately felt such a connection to you, even though you were in the group only a pretty brief time.
Well, thank you. Tell me that.
Yeah, because you didn't know that, of course. And you were in one of the 6-week sessions and then you had other stuff happening with your mom and mother-in-law, both in hospice, I think. And there was a lot going on personally that you couldn't keep going on at the time.
Oh.
And with the times and how it is in Kansas as opposed to Michigan and things too, it can be a challenge.
Well, I didn't even mention this, but since that time, when my mother-in-law was passing away from cancer, my mother was in hospice. We also lost our niece-in-law suddenly.
Really?
So in the last, there was like a 5-month period where we lost 4 family members. And my mom just passed away 2 weeks ago. So, and then you just feel yourself go right back into that grief. And then with, of course, losing your child, which is like, there's nothing like that. Nothing.
Yeah.
But that carries on the back of the other group that you're starting to have to carry others. And then I just have felt like I'm just not going to get out of this.
Yeah.
But
I totally agree with you. It brings you back every time because, you know, just it'll be 2 years this summer. My grandmother passed away. And of course, she's in her 90s, right? I mean, she's ready to die.
Right.
For sure. She was ready to die. But I'm at her funeral and some of the songs were the same that were at Andy's funeral. Some of the Bible verses were the same. I'm like holding my sister-in-law's hand, feeling like just almost hyperventilating because, and what's funny is, you know, my grandma picked all those things out. My grandmother never went to Andy's funeral. She never saw Andy's funeral. She didn't know any of that when she planned her own. It just happened to be that they were all the same thing, but it brings you back, even though my grandma was ready to go. I mean, I was thinking like her husband had died years before. Of course, she lost my mother, her daughter, many, many, many years ago. So I'm sure she was overwhelmingly happy to die.
Yeah.
But yet I'm back like I'm in the front row of my son's funeral. Right. And I have to leave and I'm out on a walk in the church totally by myself because she lives a good distance away. So I went by myself. My family didn't go with me. So I just went with my brother and sister-in-law. But it just takes you back no matter what the circumstances.
Definitely does. Every phone call you get, there's just like,
yeah.
When you learn of somebody's passing, takes you back, and then planning another funeral takes you right back. Yeah. So,
and to have, you know, what did you say, 4 and 5 months?
Yeah,
or five? Yeah, four and five months. Yeah, that's crazy. That's five. Just again and again and again, just bringing you back to that space.
Yeah. So we're waiting to heal again.
Yeah. Right. Right. You sure are. I would like to talk about your faith journey a little bit, if you're okay talking about that, because I think that's an important part of your story too.
Yeah, you know, when Josh passed away, before he passed away, my husband and I were still involved in youth ministry, and we love teenagers, and we just love to be around that kind of energy. And the worship service with our youth was always so amazing. Always had great conferences and things like that. So spiritually, I was strong. I was very strong. And I loved to praise God. And I loved to go on my walks every morning at the park. And I would sing out loud. And I just loved praising Him. And I just had such a connection with God and a faith. I remember thinking, okay, God, this is good. I love this and I trust you.
Yeah.
So then Josh passes away and I'm like, okay, all right. I remember praying that night that Jeff told me, like before I left the bedroom, I'm like, God, we need you in this. And if we are to glorify you in all things, we're going to need you in our family. Help us to grieve well. You know, how do you even do that? And how do you glorify God in all things with something like that? So I prayed about that. And then now it's July, it'll be 4 years. And my faith has been like this. I mean, it is.
Roller coaster. Yeah.
Oh, completely. Up and down, up and part up. Where you just. Everything that you believe, everything that you think you understand is blown apart. And I just remember having this picture. It was on one of the 9/11 anniversaries. And I thought that's kind of feels like my faith, because I felt like everything that I had built up in my faith, the way I understood it, had been just blown apart, knocked down. And I was in the rubble, like looking for the foundation. Where is even the foundation? Because I don't see it. And I just had that picture in my mind and trying to trust God that he's going to, like, he holds my faith. I trusted him when I was a small child. And my faith journey has been certainly not perfect because I'm a human, but he's the one that started that in me. And so even in the times, in my darkest times in the last couple of years, when I was like, I don't know, God, I don't understand. And then it gave me confidence and comfort knowing that, but he does. Yeah. I already said yes to him. And does that mean I have to have absolute 100% confidence and understanding and belief every second of my faith journey? He already took care of it. The deal is already done. So if I can just trust him, and in the moments that I'm not trusting him, tell him, I'm not trusting you. Can you help me through this?
Yeah.
And that just gave me peace. So, and then with all these additional deaths and what it's done to my family, to my kids who are trying to understand why does everybody just die all the time? You know, every time you call me, Mom, you're going to tell me somebody's died. You know, it's shaking them, and I can't make that journey for them. So as a mom, that's hard. That's really hard to watch them work through it too. So do I have that joy in church where I can sing all those songs that I used to sing? What are some of the songs? I give it all to you, Lord. You know, those songs that I used to sing. It's all yours.
Yeah.
I can't fully sing that right now. But I am trying to trust him. And I do, just in his word, he says he's good. And for that reason, because it is said, it is true, and it's in his word that he is good, I don't have to understand everything. And that's the only thing I can really grab onto, is because his ways are unsearchable. But he is good.
Well, and I love how you said that you are open to just say, hey, I'm not trusting you right now. Because I feel like that's what I need to grasp onto, because that's my biggest struggle, has been my biggest struggle for a long time. I've been very open about that, I think, on the podcast, that that's the hardest thing for me, is to just trust again. And I feel like that's always like a goal, like to get that trust back, because I feel like, you know, you want to have control. And when you trust, you're giving up all control. And so that's difficult for me to do. But I love that you just say, I'm just not trusting you right now.
He knows it.
I need to do that. I need to just be open and honest about that, because what I do is I just inwardly feel guilty about the fact that I'm not trusting right now.
Right. Okay. Right.
So now I have guilt and lack of trust, when if I would have just said, hey, I'm just not, just be open with it. I'm just not, and not just now just hang on to it and feel guilt over it. It's just a better way. So thank you for that. Thank you for that little gift.
And you think about with grief, what's part of it, at least for me, has been, let's add some shame on top of your grief, where you're not trusting God like you should. And what's
right.
We always say something like, don't should on yourself or whatever.
Oh yeah. She says that all the time. Yes. Don't should on yourself. Oh, love that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so then, okay, let's put some more guilt on top of the way that you're not doing things right. Well, that's not from God.
No.
He's saying you're not, that's not from him. Those are not his words. So it's good to remember that too, and that's hard.
Yeah. I like that though. I like that you're reminding me of that, to add that layer of shame is not worth it and not what we should do. No. That's using that should again, but
right. It
is something to try to eliminate from that, is eliminate every bit of shame that you have on your grief journey.
It's enough just the grief alone, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then we add that on there. And then we add, maybe my relationships could be better because I've been a stinky person in my grief.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, well, let's add that on there.
Boy, that's just a lot of layers that we put on top of ourselves, isn't it? That's not good at all. Not good at all. So, yeah, peeling away the layers, trying to get to what really matters, right? Yeah. I'm trying to get little bit of that back. It's funny you talked about singing, because before Andy died, I sang in the praise and worship band at my church, one of the kind of main singers. And I had done that for a long time. And Andy loved that I did that. Oh, my gosh. Because, you know, he was a singer. He loved to sing. He was so proud of his mama that she was singing in front of church every Sunday. And, you know, we'd get to the end and he'd come up with a huge hug after every time I sang. And but after Andy died, that was just done for a long time. I just couldn't do it. And then it was, and then COVID happened, which, so, you know, Andy died in August 2018. And so obviously COVID did not close church down until March 2020. So that was a long time. And I never sang. And then, of course, during COVID, they didn't have any of that. And then it got that they're starting to open up again. And our church was actually closed a really long time. But in the meantime, they had started doing online church. So you could watch it online. And then you got, so they opened it back up and you could go in person or online. So then now when we are going up north to our cottage, we were watching it online. Instead of going to a church up there, we just watch it online. And then if we're home, we go in person. So I'm watching online and my former band that I was singing with was singing. And I mean, I think partially it's the online and the, like the, you know, the equipment isn't like awesome, but that it didn't sound good. It didn't sound good. And they didn't have a lot of people. And I felt this little tugging on my heart, like, you know, Marcy, I think they need you. And I think maybe you can do that again. And it's been, at that point, it had been 3 or 4 years. I can't even remember now. I think probably 3 since I'd sung. And I think maybe I can do that. And so I started going back and singing with a group again. But some songs were just so hard. And there were times when I'd cry through. And I would even say, like, if I stop singing in this, it's because I'm crying. So just keep going, you know, but I might be crying. And then there are certain songs that, like, the other people wouldn't look at me because they knew that I would start crying or they would start crying. But I've been singing for a while, but yet we recently, you know, we've been in, obviously, in support group together, and I've, this is a private thing, but one of the members of the support group had a death in their family again, very close, very tragic death. And I found out on a Sunday morning, and I was supposed to sing, and I just didn't. I just couldn't. I just could not sing. I was so mad at God that he would have this tragedy happen again to this family. Like, nope, nope. You are not getting it from me today. I am not singing praise to you today, because it's just not happening. And we went to church, and it's interesting because we're backing out of the driveway on our way to church. And I've shared this on the podcast that many times God somehow will send me little cardinals that I feel like symbolize Andy a little bit. And even like on the last anniversary of his death, I even prayed to God as I'm walking out of the Y. I said, you know, seeing a cardinal right about now would be pretty good. And literally on the drive home, a cardinal flew in front. So this happens to me. And as we're backing out of the driveway, there on our tree at the end of the driveway is sitting a cardinal. And I thought, okay. I mean, and God was still with me and reminding me that he is good, but I still went to church and I did not sing. I did not. And I left, actually, the service in the middle, went upstairs to our main sanctuary. I sat in the front row in the exact spot where I sat in Andy's funeral, and I just sobbed. Because, like, you know, there are times when your faith is okay and there are times when it's not. And I think God knows that and is okay with that. And 2 weeks later, I was back in front of that church singing again. So it didn't take it all away, but I feel like I have, like, my relationship with God now is so different and so much more real in many ways, like, that I could say, I am not singing today because I'm just mad at you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know it let the band down a little bit, but whatever, they did fine.
Right.
But that reminds me much of you, just like, I'm not trusting you today. Like, I'm not happy with you today. I'm not. And it's just not happening.
Transparency that has always been there, but we think we're hiding something. But he knows.
Nope. And that day I was mad. But I'm glad it doesn't stay that way as long as it did.
Yeah.
You know? Definitely.
When you were telling that story about the cardinal, I wrote about something that happened last July. And when Jeff and I were going to go on another hike, but we didn't go back to Montana this year. This is the first year that we didn't go back to Montana. We went to Colorado and we did a 14er. We were trying to do a 14er. And we're climbing up. And I had no energy for one reason. I'd been training, but I just didn't have any energy. Plus, it's probably the altitude. But I was going like a slug, teeny tiny steps. And Jeff was slowly going behind me. Anyway, we get through the beautiful meadow and we're starting to climb up the bare, rocky, slippery rocks. And I am going so slow and I'm just determined, like, I'm going to finish this climb. And we're getting closer to the top and it's getting a little dangerous. And my brain is saying, you need to stop because your body does not have the reserves that you're asking for. But I was so mad. I was like, no, I don't want to stop. But I started to feel a little unsafe because I was a little shaky. And so I sat down on a rock and I was just like at the lowest part, you know, for those low parts you get, you're so low. And I just was looking across the valley and I'm like, God, I want to go up there, but I guess I can't. And I'm so mad. And I see a little patch of snow way across the valley at the base of a mountain. And it's a little heart shape.
Oh.
Little tiny patch of snow. And in my heart, I heard, Mom, you're okay. You're good. And that's just what Josh would say, something like that. Like, you're good. What's the deal? Like, you're good. Stop trying to do anything extra. Because in my heart, I was like, I want to do this climb. I want to keep living. I want to keep fighting. I want Josh to be proud of me. And then I got that mess. Okay. That was big enough. That was big enough for me. But then my vision, like I opened it up a little bit wider and around that little tiny snow part was a great big heart of where Glacier had carved a larger heart out of the rocks that was holding the little heart. And then I heard, you are unconditionally loved. I've always loved you. You're enough right now. And I had to take a minute, just like, what's going on? I said, look across. Would you look at that? And he's like, wow. So I have that picture. I took a picture and I have it because I need that for the times I think that God does not see me.
Yeah.
So that was very encouraging.
So beautiful. What a beautiful image. I'm thinking that little heart and thinking of Josh, I'm thinking of the big one, and thinking of God's love too, right?
Yeah. That's kind of like, my gosh. I have him.
Yeah. Right. Right. Oh, my word. That's amazing.
It was. It was really amazing.
It was amazing.
And I needed it at the moment.
Yeah. I bet you did. I bet you did. And he gave you a little more energy. Mm-hmm. And it gave you permission to stop.
I did stop, and I did, and I was okay. I stopped away went back.
I'm sure you were okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure, because you got the gift.
Yes.
I would have been, that's actually a better gift than it would have been if you made it to the top.
Mm-hmm. It was a much better gift.
Yeah.
I can hold on to.
And to know that you don't always have to do it all.
No. No.
Yeah,
we can just be.
Yeah, just be. That reminds me of my be still tattoo, right? Just be still.
I don't remember that.
Oh, well, I didn't have it, I don't think, when I met. I have be still tattoo on my arm now. Because be still and know that I am God was Andy's favorite Bible verse. And And so to remind myself to be still, I have that now tattooed on my arm. So how can people read about your blog? Let's get a little more information now.
They can find it on WordPress. It's Holding It Together, Grief and Hope.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So that's on WordPress. So you can just kind of Google that. You think you'd find it?
And that, I'm sure there's a better way to tell you for sure.
Well, you know what I'll do? You know what I'll do? I'll put a link in this week's write-up. So if you don't normally, if you just listen on the podcast and you don't normally read, you can go to my website and andysmom.com, and then you can see wonderful pictures, because I should promote this more, that people should go to the website more often, or you can sign up and get the weekly links. So if you get the link, you get all the pictures that are done for every kid and the whole write-up, and then it will be with the links as well. So that might be the best way. So you just go to andysmom.com, and then you can just sign up for the email list, and then you can get this and everything. And that will get you to Anne's blog for sure. So I'll make sure that we get that link working, because I just know everyone would get so much benefit from Anne, because I know Gwen and I both get benefit from Anne. We love Anne. So you can learn to love Anne as much as we do. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Do you have any other parting words that you feel like you want to share before we kind of end things today?
I'm thinking about, I have met new friends who've lost children. You know how that happened. You meet more. And I'm thinking about a few friends that have lost children in the last year. And now it seems, I mean, it is an awful journey. And you just wonder how you're going to get through. And my thought for them is that it gets different and some things get better. And then there's still the times that are really hard. But every day that you make it through is one day closer to see them again.
I always love trying to think of it that way. Yes. Because it's easy to think about the fact that every day you live, you're further away from the time that you were living with your child, right? So I'm now, you know, five and a half years now since I was last with Andy. But if I turn it on its head and think about every day I live as being one day closer to the day that I'll be reunited with him, it makes it easier. And what I have to stop myself from thinking is how long that is. And just know that it's one day closer. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, 10 months or 10 years or 40 years.
No.
It is one day closer.
That's absolutely right.
And it totally changes how your outlook, I think, when you start thinking about it that way, as opposed to adding days on as the years get further.
I do remember one thing I was wrestling with God about one day early on. It was probably still in the first year. And I was wrestling with God about, okay, if I could just build Josh back, if I could just grain by grain build him back, I would start doing it. And if it's like a speck at a time, I would start that process. And it's like God was telling me, you are doing that every day. Every day is like a grain. And so that was comforting too.
Yeah. That is a comforting thought. Well, thank you for that, Anne. Thank you for everything you do. And just, I know you will bless more and more people.
Thank you, Marcy. Thank you for what you do. You're inspiring. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. If you found this helpful and would like to support the podcast, please leave a 5-star rating and comment. To help financially, you can type Andy's Mom, one word, to the number 53555. This provides a link to GiveButter, which allows donations through PayPal, Venmo, Apple Pay, or credit cards. GiveButter will provide a receipt of your tax-deductible donation. Or you can visit the donation page at andysmom.com/donate. Always Andy's Mom is a registered 501c3 and can receive donations through Thrivent Financial and Benevity. Marcy loves hearing from listeners. Please feel free to reach out to her via email at marcy@andysmom.com or on the Instagram or Facebook Always Andy's Mom accounts. Sign up for the email list to get weekly episode links as well as pictures of Marcy's guests and their children. Together, Let's work to inspire hope one day at a time.